Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. While we're here, I want to take a moment and invite you to come be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. If you are in the area, maybe you're looking for a church home, or maybe you're visiting in the Boone, North Carolina area, we'd love for you to come by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website that has all of our church information on it. It is mountlebanonbc.org, and that is mtlebanonbc.org. And you've got service times, archive sermons, radio broadcasts. If you missed last week's radio broadcast, you can go there and listen to it. So a lot of people do that and keep up that way. But we wanted to let you know about that. I want to say hello to Noah. He's with us today, and we appreciate him and all he does to help us on the radio broadcast. Noah, are you all right today?
I am. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all the listeners. We want to say welcome to those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who are listening in through KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate the radio stations. And we are continuing on our study in the Bill of Rights. This is about our third week just on the Fifth Amendment. And we've been looking at that. I'm going to read the Fifth Amendment, and we'll get right into probably just going to pick up where we left off on last week. But we'll try to give a little review if this is your first time, or maybe it's been a few weeks since you have heard the broadcast. We don't want to leave you in the dark, but the Fifth and the Sixth Amendment, both of those deal with the subject of trial by jury. The Fifth article talks about a grand jury. It says, "No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury." And so, talking about a grand jury. Now, the Sixth Amendment, and I'm going to go ahead and read this, and I'm going to explain the difference between the two. The Sixth Amendment, the first part, says, "In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury." Now, a grand jury, the difference between the two, when we talk about a grand jury or talk about being on a jury, a grand jury is dealing with a panel of citizens that decides whether or not the government can proceed with a prosecution against an individual. And so that's what a grand jury does. A jury, just being on the jury, it decides a courtroom case. So somebody goes to trial. The grand jury decides if the government can proceed with a case, and it goes to trial or it does not go to trial. Then a jury decides the trial. And so the Fifth Amendment deals with grand jury. The Sixth Amendment deals with a person's right to have a trial by a jury in a criminal case. And so we wanted to begin by explaining the difference between the two. And we're spending some extra time with the Fifth Amendment discussing or talking about the benefits of trial by jury, a trial by jury. And that's mentioned specifically in the Declaration of Independence. King George had deprived the English citizens in the American colonies of the benefits of trial by jury. Now, the first week we looked at this, and I'm going to give just a quick little review, but the first week we brought out the fact that the grand jury has the power to tell the government no. Before the government can prosecute a person, it must get permission from a grand jury. I found I don't believe I read this last week, but I have a quote from a newspaper article from 1987, actually, that says the purpose of a grand jury, the purpose is to protect the public from an overzealous prosecutor. So the grand jury is sort of a buffer. It is a check on the government. The government can be pretty zealous in its prosecutions. Isn't it interesting? Let me just throw this in right here. The IRS, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with what has gone on in the past year or two with the IRS and how that they were targeting conservative groups. Many that had applied were classified as being associated with the Tea Party, never got their tax-exempt status. And so there's a big rigmarole about this. And so they called in the head of the IRS, the lady's name Lois Lerner, and she pleads the Fifth Amendment. We're talking about the Fifth Amendment. Well, she pleads the Fifth. She's not going to be a witness against herself. And all of these emails have disappeared. They're gone. What has happened to all these internal emails? And the IRS says they're gone. There's no getting them back. We don't know what happened to them. Well, you try that if you sit before an IRS auditor. This is the difference between you and them. They can get away with it. We lost the emails. They're gone. We don't know what happened to them. You tell them, I don't know what happened to those, you know, those receipts. I don't know what happened to them. Boy, that won't fly. I lost my paperwork. The dog ate it. Just try that with the government. See how far along you get. Well, the grand jury, getting back to, that's chasing a little rabbit there, but get back to the grand jury. The grand jury, if the government brings a case against an individual, it is supposed to go before a grand jury. And if the grand jury sees that the government is wrong or the law is wrong, then they can say not guilty. And the government cannot proceed against such an individual. So the purpose of the grand jury is to protect the public from an overzealous prosecutor. That prosecutor will always be the government. So that's the purpose of a grand jury. And we learned that the first week. The second week, we looked at our Republican form of government. And this is where we were when we went off the air last week. We were talking about our Republican form of government and how our founders gave us a three-vote system, and we have a three-vote system as a check against tyranny. Now, this three-vote system only works if you are educated about it, and I would say that 95% of American citizens are ignorant about this three-vote check against tyranny. But let me tell you today what it is. And like I said, it only works if you're educated about it. You need to know about this. Let me give you a couple of quotes. One is from a German poet. His name is Johann von Goethe. And this is on a plaque at the Naval War College in Newport, Rhode Island. And there's a quotation on the wall there. It says, "There is nothing more terrifying than ignorance in action." And I believe we suffer a lot from that in America today. Ignorance in action. People don't know their rights. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know the Bill of Rights. They think that separation of church and state is found in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, and it is not found in any of our legislative documents in America, but people are absolutely ignorant concerning our rights. Abraham Lincoln said this about the Constitution. He said, "Study the Constitution. Let it be preached from the pulpit, proclaimed in the legislatures, and enforced in courts of justice." Thomas Jefferson said this about the subject. He said, "It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself." Here's one from the Bible. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So you need to know about this if it's going to do us any good. And we're certainly not going to learn it in the schools. We're not going to learn it in the history books. the modern history books, you're not going to go to college a lot of times and learn about this. So it's up to we as citizens to educate ourselves concerning the way our government ought to be run. Well, what is the three-vote check against tyranny which our forefathers gave us? Number one, it is to go to the polls. It's to go and vote, and it would help us in our nation immensely if we would fire everybody that had been in Washington more than a couple of terms, more than getting voted in like a president. They can only serve two terms. It would do us good if we had term limits in our government. And so let somebody go, elect them, put them in, and then after just a couple of terms, get them out of there. One of the worst things that is going on in our nation today is career politicians. And I'm talking about all of them, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. It does not matter. Shouldn't be such a thing as a career politician. There is too much corruption and too much go along to get along. So there needs to be a lot of turnover in Washington and in government. But that is our vote on against tyranny. But here's the thing. People gripe about it, but they rarely fire anybody. They'll gripe about Harry Reid. They'll gripe about Nancy Pelosi and how they need to go. But we'll keep Richard Burr, Kay Hagan. We keep the local ones. People think, you know, well, they're ours, or whoever else you want to mention there. That's just who came to mind. But they all need to go. That's number one, vote check against tyranny. Number two, to serve on a grand jury. The grand jury has the power to tell the king no. And we talked about that the first week. And number three is when you are acting as a jury member in a courtroom trial. Now, I want to deal with this just a little bit. I mentioned last week the book, Citizens Rule Book. And I would encourage everyone that can to get a copy of the Citizens Rule Book. You can type that in. Go to WittenPublishers.net. And at WittenPublishers.net, if you send them $2, they'll send you a copy of the Citizens Rule Book. It's pocket size. It's 60 pages. And it is chock full of good information. But I want to read just a little bit today from the Citizens Rule Book about this third vote that is our three-vote check against tyranny. He says, the third is the most powerful vote. This is when you are acting as a jury member during a courtroom trial. At this point, the buck stops with you. It is in this setting that each juror has more power than the president, all of Congress, and all of the judges combined. Congress can legislate, which means make law. The president or some other bureaucrat can make an order or issue regulations, and judges may instruct or make a decision, but no juror can ever be punished for voting not guilty. Any juror can, with impunity, choose to disregard the instructions of any judge or attorney in rendering his vote. If only one juror should vote not guilty for any reason, there is no conviction and no punishment at the end of the trial. Thus, those acting in the name of government must come before the common man to get permission to enforce a law. And it says in this little booklet, it says, you are above the law. Talking about a juror. As a juror in a trial setting, when it comes to your individual vote of innocent or guilty, you truly are answerable only to God Almighty. The First Amendment to the Constitution was born out of this great concept. However, judges of today refuse to inform jurors of their rights. Now, you will not go into a courtroom and hear the judge say, now, we're going to have a trial, and whatever the law is, or whatever I say, or whatever these lawyers say, you just make up your mind. You do what's best. You follow your conscience. That they are not, from my understanding, instructed of their true power as a jury member. But the booklet goes on and says, as a juror, you must decide not only the facts placed in evidence, but also the validity or applicability of every law, rule, regulation, ordinance, or instruction given by any man seated as a judge or attorney when you serve as a juror. Now, most jury members probably do not realize that they are not only judging the case, but they are judging the law. And here is where this is a check against tyranny, because a jury member can abrogate the law, whatever that law is. Here's some examples. One juror can stop tyranny with a not guilty vote. He can nullify bad law in any case by hanging the jury. Everett Hale said this, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do, and with the help of God, I will do. The only power the judge has over the jury is their ignorance. And so if you serve on a jury, you need to know your right, your responsibility, your duty when you go to jury duty. We the people must relearn a desperately needed lesson in civics. The truth of this question has been answered by many testimonies and historical events. Consider the following. Let me read some quotations from former Supreme Court justices in years gone by, what they said about jury rights. John Jay, he was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court in 1789. He said the jury has a right to judge both the law as well as the fact in controversy. Samuel Chase, he was on the United States Supreme Court, 1796. He signed the Declaration of Independence. He said this, the jury has the right to determine both the law and the facts. If a jury member recognizes that a law is a stupid law, then they have the right to vote not guilty based on that law being having no common sense or just being against the Constitution. The jury has great power. We're talking about the benefits of trial by jury. Oliver Wendell Holmes, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, 1902, he said the jury has the power to bring a verdict in the teeth of both law and fact. Harlan F. Stone, 12th Chief Justice, U.S. Supreme Court, 1941, he said the law itself is on trial quite as much as the cause which is to be decided. In U.S. versus Daugherty, 1972, says this, the pages of history shine on instances of the jury's exercise of its prerogative to disregard instructions of the judge. The general misconception is that any statute passed by legislators bearing the appearance of law constitutes the law of the land. The United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and any statute to be valid must be in agreement. It is impossible for a law which violates the Constitution to be valid. This is stated as follows. Listen, all laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. Marbury versus Madison, 1803. This is past quotations concerning the Constitution. Here's another one. Miranda versus Arizona. You've heard of your Miranda rights. Well, out of that trial came this statement, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rule making or legislation which would abrogate them. Here's another one. An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights, it imposes no duties, affords no protection, it creates no office, it is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed. Here's another one. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment, and not merely from the date of the decision so branding it. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. It's very interesting. Something that's going on in America right now has been where the Supreme Court handed down a decision siding with Hobby Lobby concerning their corporation, their Christian family that owns this business, and they took Obamacare to court, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court over them having to pay for health care that includes reproductive services. That's how I'm going to put it. And so the decision began to come down, and I'm watching this. And some of the things that it said was the Supreme Court nullifies Obamacare, ruling could create havoc. Well, it's going to create havoc, and it's going to fall if it goes through the courts like it ought to. What that means, if any law that goes against the Constitution is actually null and void, what ought to happen in America is that Obamacare will be nullified. It'll be done away with because it is unconstitutional. The government cannot make you buy health care. That is unconstitutional. The Patriot Act, what is done under the name of the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, which has all kinds of unconstitutional laws in it, such as an American citizen being picked up and detained without being charged with anything, being held without a charge. This goes against the Sixth Amendment. NSA spying, the National Security Association spying upon you, government spying. This goes against, it is unconstitutional. It goes against the Fourth Amendment. You see, there's all kinds of things that are look like law. They're passed off as being laws, but if they are tested according to their constitutionality and they're found to be unconstitutional, it makes the law null and void. This is precedent in the United States of America. So a lot of things that are look like law, passed as law, are actually unconstitutional, which makes them a null and void law. You remember, this has been in the news for a long time now, and that's this individual. His name is Mr. Snowden. And Mr. Snowden, he blew the whistle on government spying. He was involved with or worked with, he was a contractor, worked for the NSA, and he blew the whistle that the government was spying on American citizens, emails, phone calls, you name it. If you put it out there, the government knows about it, and they've been spying on you. And let me say, this is across the board. Everybody ought to be concerned about this, whether you're religious or whether you're an atheist, whether you're a conservative or you're a liberal, a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. They're spying on all. They're spying on everybody. And so Mr. Snowden, he exposed, he blew the whistle. Well, he's in Russia now, and he's over there. What would that be called? He blew the whistle. He's in exile. That's the word I was looking for. And some people, when this came out, they said, boy, he's a traitor. Others say he's a hero. Well, my personal opinion, he's a hero because he exposed an unconstitutional action by the United States government over its citizens, the breaking of the Fourth Amendment by the United States government. Let me share something with you. There's a English prime minister. His name is William Pitt. He's called William Pitt the Younger. And he gave this warning before the British House of Commons, who's talking about the subject of privacy. Now, listen to what he said. This is in the early 1800s. He said this about privacy. The poorest man may, in his cottage, bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it, the storm may enter, the rain may enter, but the King of England may not enter. All his force dares not cross the threshold of the ruined tenant. And so William Pitt realized how important privacy was. And to have privacy, you lose your privacy, you have lost your freedom. Every tyrannical government that has ever been has invaded the privacy of its citizens. And it would be very beneficial, actually, if Mr. Snowden, and I was talking about him just a minute ago, if he were to have his case set before a grand jury and let a jury decide not only his case, but the law condemning Mr. Snowden for being a whistleblower against the United States government, and let it all be fair. Now, if you did that, my prediction is that a grand jury, an informed grand jury, would say not guilty. Now, that will never happen because tyranny never limits or oppresses itself. That'll never happen, but it should happen. William Pitt, one more quotation I want to read by him. He said this. He said, "Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human liberty. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves." And so we have this before us all the time, that we need to give up our rights. We need to give up this right in order to be secure. You know, we need to give up the right to privacy, to catch the terrorists. We need to give up the right of unreasonable search and seizure, to find the bad guy, and all this stuff. But every time you give up a right, you give up a choice. I like what I read in this book, The Citizen's Rule Book. It said we don't need to give up rights in order to be free. We need to give up wrongs. We need to give up wrongs where we've wronged the Lord. And if we would give up our wrongs, we would find once again the blessing of God upon our nation. God does not say give up rights. God says give up wrongs, give up sins, and God gives liberty to a nation. Many verses in the scripture we could go to. One of the most famous, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and" what? "Turn from their wicked ways. Then," God says, "will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." And so we appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We're talking about the Fifth Amendment, the benefits of trial by jury. And we say this many, many times. We hope that you know the great liberator, which is not a politician. It's not even a government, but it's a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8 says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you have accepted Him, trusted in His sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. That's the greatest liberator. And we are liberated because of what He did. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So there's a lot going on, and we appreciate your prayers. Noah's going to come, give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church roll number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. You're listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450, WATA, Boone.